Good evening, everyone. We're very glad to see all that have been able to gather with us tonight. We welcome you sincerely along to our evening harvest service. We had a very good meeting this morning. We knew the Lord's presence. We were blessed through the word that was brought. We're looking forward to the service tonight. We're going to commence as we sing the words of the hymn 737. Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. So 737, the words are on the screens, and we're going to invite you to stand and we'll sing all of the verses of the hymn together, please. Together in prayer. I pray for the Lord's hand to be upon the meeting. I pray the Lord will come and bless us. He might be pleased even to bless us in a greater way tonight than we knew and experienced in the service this morning. So let's just seek his face together. Gracious Father, we remember that your word exhorts us that in everything we're to give thanks. We pray, Father, for a thankful heart at all times. And at the very outset of our meeting this evening, we want to approach thee with thanksgiving for all your goodness. We remember you're the God that daily loads us with benefits, remember too that scripture that was read at the outset of the service this morning, that every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We acknowledge tonight, Father, that all that we have, that your hand has provided. There's nothing that we have tonight that you haven't given to us and blessed us with. We want to acknowledge that, Father. We want to praise thee that we can say, as we look back upon all of our lives, that you've supplied our every need according to your riches in glory. We thank, Father, of the bounty of your provision. We thank, Father, of the bounty just that we know in this land. There's no lack of any kind. And Lord, we want to give thee praise just for how good that you are to us. We are mindful of those in great need, those in other lands that find themselves in great need, even as far as daily provisions are concerned. Your word says that we're to consider the poor. We pray that you'll ever give us a heart for such. Help us, Father, to do all we can to help them in their circumstances. We want to thank you tonight, especially for the spiritual blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We rejoice that we live in a land where the gospel is preached. Thank you for the freedom that we have. Praise thee for the word of God. Thank you for the house of the Lord open tonight. We thank you that you've enabled us to be here. We rejoice, Father, you've given us a sound body and sound mind, given us a desire in our hearts to be in the Lord's house. We thank you, Father, that we do enjoy civil and religious liberties. We pray that that will ever be so in this land of ours. We want to thank you that we have the word of God. You've given to us the bread of life. We want to thank you for even being with us this morning, for your faithfulness, prayer answered, for the service. We knew the hand of God upon the meeting. We thank you, Father, that we heard your voice. You spoke to us. You opened to us the scriptures, that we didn't go from your house without receiving a challenge from thyself. We thank you too for the promise that was contained in that verse. We want to plead it tonight, Father. We cast our bread upon the waters, that we shall it shall return unto us even after many days. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll bless the sowing of the seed of God's word in this city and in this community. We think of the outreach team that has gone forth in recent weeks again, the abundant sowing of the seed of thy word. We think of even all the communities around this city that have received the gospel message. We're praying, Father, that those that are in great darkness, great spiritual darkness, that you'll bring them into the light of the gospel. Remember, the scriptures tell us, in connection with the ministry of the Saviour, that those that sat in great darkness saw the light. And Lord, we want to pray that the entrance of your word, as it goes out in this city, goes out in this land, that it will bring many souls into the light of the gospel. We want to commit the meeting to thee tonight. Pray you'll be with us in every part. We acknowledge we need the help of God. We want to pray that we'll be able to testify at every part of this service tonight that we knew the Lord with us, sustaining us, guiding us, prospering our labours. We pray for the power of God, how we feel, Father, our emptiness, how we lament our weakness, our powerlessness. We're crying tonight for the power of God to descend. We want another Pentecost. We're praying for the fullness of the Spirit of the Lord. We want to ask, Lord, that even tonight we'll know the anointing of the Lord resting upon this service. We thank you for the blessings known this morning. We need fresh blessings tonight. We ask thee, Father, favor us with a double portion of your Spirit upon this service tonight. We ask thee to use our sister as she will minister to us in song. We thank you, Father, for a young person using their life and talents in the service of the Master. Bless our sister and her husband. We pray that you'll use them greatly in coming days and years. We pray that our sister will be a blessing to us tonight. Our prayer is that you would speak through her, minister through her to all of our hearts. Pray our hearts will be blessed and touched. We pray, Father, that you'll encourage us through the messages and song, that we'll see the Saviour, that they'll prepare the way even for the ministry of the gospel that will be to follow. Remember our brother, Mr. Porter. Thank you for the opportunity to renew fellowship with your servant again tonight. We pray, Father, put your hand upon him. Thank you for bringing him here in safety this evening. We thank you for his fellowship in the past, his labours with us, even here in Armagh, how you blessed in a very definite way his labours in Market Hill, how he's been used in this county. We think of his labours with Consider Christ, reaching over the border into the south. And Father, we pray that you'll strengthen his hands. We think of the outreach that the committee arranged just in recent weeks at Balmoral Show, the abundant sowing again there of the seed of the gospel. Lord, encourage your servant and his labours. We remember the Enniskillen Church tonight, the gospel service there as well, as our brother is absent from them. May the hand of God in power and blessing be upon the service there. Lead the congregation on. Lord, we think of that great and needy county of Fermanagh, and we pray that you'll use your servant as a mighty soul winner. We want to pray, Father, that he might be an instrument of revival even there in your hands. So we're praying, Father, take your servant up tonight. May he know the touch of God upon his lips and upon his life. We pray that you'll fill him tonight, and we pray that he might preach even in our midst as a dying man to dying men and women. So hear and answer these are prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are delighted to have with us as our guest soloist our sister Mrs. Carla Hunter from the Macrofell congregation. We welcome Carla and her husband John. We're delighted to have them both with us in the service tonight. We appreciate them taking the time to come down and to join with us. And Carla's going to come and bring her first two messages and song to us just now, please.
Thank you for the things that I have never thanked you for. You've given everything I need, and still I ask for more. It's not that I'm ungrateful, I'm just forgetful, Lord. So I thank you for the things that I've never thanked you for. There are so many blessings that you have given me. Things I take for granted every day. The beauty of creation and the promise of salvation. Lord, help me to remember when I pray to thank you for the things that I've never thanked you for. You've given everything I need, and still I ask for more. It's not that I'm ungrateful, I'm just forgetful, Lord. So I thank you for the things that I've never thanked you for. Now when my way grows weary and rest is hard to find, and sometimes I can't see my way through, when thank you for the things that I've never thanked you for. You've given everything I need, and still I ask for more. It's not that I'm ungrateful, I'm just forgetful, Lord. So I thank you for the things that I've never thanked you for. So I thank you for the things that I've never thanked you for.
Messages and song and the blessing that have been to our hearts. We've known the Lord speaking to us already. May the Lord give us that thankfulness of which our sister sang in the first piece. And we emphasize to you tonight, especially if you're out of Christ, the great power there is in the Saviour's blood, the power there is to cleanse you from every sin. If you've never come to Christ, it's our prayer you'll come tonight. What a blessing, what a difference that would make in this service. We give everyone a very sincere and earnest word of welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus to our evening Harvest Thanksgiving service. Thank all that have joined with us. There are a number of visitors with us in the service tonight. We appreciate your presence. We want to welcome you warmly to the Lord's house this evening. We'd like you to know that we appreciate you coming to share with us at the special service tonight. We thank everyone that helped with the preparing of the church for the harvest, all the decorations, the various bits and pieces that have been brought, the fruit, the vegetables, the flowers, so forth. We're thankful to everyone that has helped. It is looking very, very well indeed. The church looks very appropriate for the Harvest Thanksgiving service. We want you to know that we're thankful to each one that had a part in that. Remember to come and take your various items home with you again tonight. Or if you want to distribute some of the fruit and the vegetables and so on among members of the congregation, just to highlight what we did this morning. Because of the COVID and the fact that we use a fogging machine in the church, we encourage you, especially with regard to the fruit, the need to wash that before it's eaten, to stress that, maybe especially for the children particularly. Remember that we're taking building fund offerings at both services today. We appreciate your generous support of the work here. If you'd like to give to the building fund, remember there's plates at the door for the free will offering. If you put your gift in there in an envelope and specifically mark it for the building fund of the church. Remember the meetings, activities, the incoming week in the will of the Lord. Tuesday night at 6:45, the both bright hours for the boys and girls. There's a meeting here in the church downstairs in the hall, and the meeting down in the band hall in Killalea. Remember those meetings, encourage the children to come along to them, encourage our leaders and workers. Wednesday night is our midweek meeting for prayer and Bible study. I hope to be here to lead and to preach at that service myself. Remember the Radio Star Country broadcasts. The radio broadcast Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. That's on 981 medium wave. Make those broadcasts known and pray for the Lord to use them. Friday night at 8 is the Youth Fellowship. The speaker Friday night is one of our new youth leaders, Mr. Matthew Muldrew. We're glad that Matthew's well enough to be involved in the youth meetings and that he's going to bring a word on Friday night, and we commend that to all of the young people. Come along and encourage Matthew with your presence at that meeting. Remember, the service is next Lord's Day, the 10th of October. Just to emphasise that next Lord's Day is the anniversary of the founding of this congregation. And it falls on the very day. It was on the Lord's Day, the 10th of October, 1965, that Dr. Paisley constituted this congregation in the tent, just over the hill at Stewart's Hill, at the conclusion of his six-week gospel campaign that he held here in the city, or the town as it was at that time. The congregation was constituted by him at the final meeting of that great gospel campaign, or the final weekend. I believe he came back on the Monday night and did what he generally did in those days at the end of those campaigns. He preached on separation. He gave the great call for people to come out of the ecumenical movement. So next Lord's Day is the 56th anniversary of the founding of the Armagh congregation. So it's a very special Lord's Day to us. The Sunday School and Bible classes, 10:40 in the morning. The morning meeting at 11:30. Remember, the preacher is Mr. Matthew Eccles, one of our licentiate ministers. I'm down in Lisburn preaching at the Harvest. So come along and hear our brother Matthew. Encourage him as well with your prayers and with your presence. The evening meeting at 6:30. I hope we'll be back to conduct that service myself. To remind the elders, the session meeting, Monday the 11th of October, that's Monday night week at 7:30. Just to mention those matters from Presbytery, again, just the updates, especially for those that weren't with us this morning. The Reverend Patrick Baker, the newly installed minister in Newton Arch, will be taking over from the beginning of the year as the new editor of the Vision magazine. The Reverend Mercer from Omagh, the current deputy moderator, has been the editor for a number of years. He has quite a few demands upon him, so he's handing that over from the end of this year. So remember the Reverend Baker as he takes that up. The presbytery at the meeting approved plans for the new Whitfield College of the Bible buildings that are going to be erected at Tandragee. The Tandragee Church, with the land they have adjacent to the churchling, have given the new college on, a very generous gift from the Tandragee College. Remember, that's a very important project, in the training of young men and women. So it was a very encouraging report and presentation that was made by the Reverend Nelson, the principal of which, on behalf of the joint college committees. There's an academic committee that looks after the curriculum. There's a management committee that looks after all the practical aspects. They have come together, or they have been meeting together, particularly on the new college project. So it will provide excellent facilities, not just for the college, but for the wider presbytery, for the boards and the committee of presbytery to have facilities to meet there as well. They're going to build a garage beside it. The various presbytery boards have an input with the college committees in all the preparations and the drawing of the plans. So the mission board had asked that, thinking of the opportunity of giving the students, particularly those thinking of missionary service, a little bit of practical experience in things like motor mechanics. So there's going to be facilities erected for that as well. So they're going to be moving on to seek the planning permission, then put it out to tender, and then continue in the will of the Lord with the building of that new property. So pray for the Lord's help and blessing to be upon every stage. There were calls that were issued. Those that were accepted on Friday night, Mr. Stephen Nelson, one of the newly graduated students, accepted the call to Rasharkin. Mr. Simon Anderson, also newly graduated, Simon from the Mull of Glass Church, accepted the call to our neighbouring congregation here in Auchnacloy. And Mr. Philip Newells, currently in Lewes in the south of England, he accepted the call to the recently vacant congregation in London. So remember these brethren, their families, as they move, take up the new works. Think too, especially of the work there in Lewes, the vacancy that is created by the move of our brother Mr. Knowles, that the Lord will guide someone to take up that work very soon as well. Just to remind you of the forms for the data protection policy. If you need any help with those, any queries, speak to our brother Mr. Billy McCrum. Please return those forms to us as soon as possible, and we thank all that have returned the forms already. Continue to remember Mrs. Gillespie. She asked that we would express her sincere thanks for the prayers of the congregation. She certainly felt the benefit of those prayers and knowing the prayers of the Lord's people to be answered, that she has been able to come home again from hospital. We sympathise with our brother Mr. Cecil Spence on the death of his youngest sister, Mrs. Doris Arthur. Doris was called home to be with the Lord on Tuesday past. She was 82 years of age. The funeral was on Friday afternoon past, and we do rejoice that Doris knew the Lord, came to Christ many years ago, and she's now with the Lord, which is far better. Doris and her husband Ronnie have attended our services, attended over the years the special meetings, the gospel missions, and so forth that we have conducted. So we do want to extend our deepest sympathy to Cecil and his family, and also to Ronnie and to his family circle too. We assure them all of our prayers and our support for the days that lie ahead. I think those are all the matters we need to mention to you. 734, we're going to stand and sing these words together. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eaves, waiting for the harvest, And the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. So 734, we'll stand to sing, please. Ask her sister Carla if she will come and bring her final message and song to us, please.
All your friends may sing your have you thought about your soul? If you've never thought it over, spend a little time today. There is nothing more important that will ever come your way than
that message is. We want to impress it upon every heart in the service, especially if you know not Christ as your Savior. We want to emphasize just the importance of your soul, knowing it's well with your soul. And our great desire has been summed up in the words of that hymn. We want you to think about your soul as you're gathered with us tonight. We want you to know that it is well with your soul. So we pray the Lord might speak to you in the service to that end. We want our sister to know she's been a blessing to us tonight, as always, and we thank her sincerely for her ministry to us. It's a great blessing to have our good friend and colleague, the Reverend James Porter, with us at the gospel service tonight at the Harvest meeting. Our brother now down in Enniskillen. It's hard to believe that it's about 3 years, or almost another week or two, since our brother left the Market Hill Church to go down to Enniskillen. We know that he's greatly missed in the area. We assure him that we've missed his fellowship as well. We're glad that he's with us. Remember him in the responsibility he has for the presbytery too, the Consider Christ campaign. Because of all the restrictions, the teams haven't been able to go down south just the way that they had been doing. That great work, the vast undertaking of delivering gospel literature to the homes of the many towns and cities of Southern Ireland, responsible too for the ploughing outreach. The last of those was back in 2019. That was a record year. Exceptional weather, over 300,000 people that attended. Mr. Porter will be coming back in the month of November to a midweek service to do a deputation for the ploughing outreach. We'd like you to keep that in mind. We've always a great interest in that. We'd like you to come along to hear our brother that evening. And remember too, the outreach at Barnmarle Show, they've been responsible for all of the arrangements for that as well. So they're doing a great work of evangelism all across the whole island of Ireland, and we appreciate that. So we're delighted our brother's with us, and we'll ask him to come and minister the gospel to us, please.
We're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter number 8, and just to the verse number 13 of that chapter, reading down just to the end. But while you're looking that up, I'd like to thank your minister here, the Reverend McMillan, for the kind and warm words of invitation and welcome here tonight to come and to share with you the message of the Gospel at your harvest weekend. It's nice to be back here with you in County Armagh and to renew fellowship with you, with fond memories of this part of the world and days gone by. And we pray the Lord will bless you here as a congregation. Bless your minister also with good health and strength, and that together, even in the autumn season, there'll be that going forward in the work of God and the cause of the gospel. Good to see the church so well decorated as well. I don't know if this treasure is working or not. There's maybe some of the older folk would remember how they operated, maybe a wee bit before my time. It's good to see so many things here and the church looking so well. Harvest is a wonderful time of the year when we give thanks to the Lord for all His temporal mercies and blessings to us. And it reminds us of the great harvest in God's work. No greater work to be involved in when you're saved than serving the Lord, seeking to witness for Him and to labour for Him day by day. But we assure you of our prayers. Pray the Lord will bless every aspect of the work here. Bless the congregation. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, our prayer, our burden is that you'll come to know the Lord as Saviour. Nice renewed fellowship with our sister Carl as well, and to hear her singing. We've always been blessed through our ministry in song. Now we're going to turn just to that passage, Jeremiah chapter number 8, reading from verse number 13 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 22. And it says in verse 13 of Jeremiah chapter 8, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities. And let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and hath given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I shall comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king and her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of verse 22. And our prayer is the Lord will bless this reading of God's eternal and infallible word to our hearts. So maybe just unite our hearts together, please, in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us already in this gathering this evening. We thank Thee, Lord, for the singing of the harvest hymns that remind us of the goodness and the bounty and the love and the provision of our God. We thank Thee for the messages and song and how they've reminded us, most importantly of all, of our great need of Christ, great need of salvation. We thank Thee for this open door, for this congregation, for the labours of Thy servant, Reverend McMillan, his wife, and all who labour together with them here in the Gospel. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless this congregation mightily and powerfully, even in the autumn season, that Thou would enlarge their coasts, that Thou, Lord, would add unto the work here such as should be saved, that Thou wilt bless and encourage the saints of God in Thy work and in Thy service. Be with us now, we pray, in the remaining moments of this meeting. Give help, Lord, in the preaching of Thy word. Do still every heart before Thee. We thank Thee for every believer in the meeting. Encourage and bless and lead Thy people onward and heavenward, we pray. For any, Lord, them through times of trial and testing, may they know great grace and help and strength in their time of need. But, Lord, for any with us tonight, old or young, and, Lord, they're not saved,
O God, that never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Lord, speak to them. Lord, impress upon them tonight their need to be born again. And Father, by Thy Spirit and power and grace, may they come and trust Christ. Have their sins dealt with, put away by the blood of Calvary's cross. Be saved for time and for eternity. Give help now to preach Thy Word. Give right words. Give liberty, clarity, plainness of speech. Give help and utterance from on high. Empty me of self and of sin. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. And pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. And close us in with Thyself. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen. Now, as I was thinking about this service and praying about it, and indeed what I should speak upon, the Lord directed my heart and my mind to the words of verse number 20 of Jeremiah chapter number 8. I'm sure maybe a text that you may have often heard preached upon at a harvest Thanksgiving service such as this. But the more I thought about this text, the more the Lord impressed it upon my mind that we should bring a word from the Lord regarding this verse tonight. In verse 20 of Jeremiah chapter 8 says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Now the word harvest is a word that you find mentioned many times in the Scriptures. The first mention of the word harvest is found in the book of Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, the day of Noah. There you have the Lord speaking to Noah after the flood, and he says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time," or harvest, "shall not cease." In other words, the promise there that God gave to Noah was that as long as this earth shall last, there shall be a harvest time. Indeed, this weekend here as a church, you are publicly acknowledging God's goodness, giving thanks to the Lord for the harvest, even before the community here, for the fulfillment of this great promise. And it is good, and it is right, and it is scriptural to give thanks to the Lord for His bounty and for His provisions. Indeed, the psalmist could say it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And then the last mention of the word harvest that we find in the Bible is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and the verse number 15. And there it says, "Trust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And there that word harvest relates to the end of time. It relates to the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the judgment of the unsaved at the return, at the second coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, when He'll come back again in power and in great glory. What a harvest that will be. Indeed, a most solemn harvest indeed. But then also we find the word harvest mentioned and found in our text here tonight in Jeremiah chapter 8 and the verse number 20. Where it says there, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Now, Jeremiah chapter 8 is a chapter that really tells of God's judgment coming upon ancient Judah because of its sin. And this judgment really meant that Judah would be overthrown by the army of Babylon. And verse 20 here of the chapter is really the lament of the people as they think of this judgment coming upon them. It says there in verse 20, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." These words also here in verse 20 of Jeremiah chapter number 8 are words that also, I believe, highlight the plight of those in our world even tonight, not saved. Yes, they too must say, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Yes, there are multitudes tonight not saved. Multitudes out of Christ without salvation on their way to hell, and they too must say with the words of this text, "And we are not saved." Indeed, if they mention it personally, they must say, yes, and I am not saved. I wonder, could that be the case, indeed, the position of one even in the meeting tonight? Now, the reasons why Judah were not saved are really a picture of why many are still not saved and still without God's salvation even tonight. That being so, I want us then to look at why Judah was not saved in the day of the prophet Jeremiah. And as we would consider these reasons, may you who are still not saved even tonight in this gathering be led to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. First of all, we want to say tonight that Judah was not saved because he refused to believe in coming judgment. You look at verse number 7 of the chapter. Look at what it says. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. And there the Lord is speaking about ancient Judah. And you'll see in that verse number 7 that mention is made of birds that migrate to warmer climate when the winter season is coming and approaching. Their instinct tells them it's time to leave and prepare for winter and to go to a warmer climate over the winter season. Well, in the case here of ancient Judah, they refused to believe that God's judgment was coming upon them. Yes, they thought they could sin with impunity and that God would not judge them for their sin. Look at what the Lord says about them in verse 9 of the chapter. He says, they have rejected the word of the Lord. Again, in verse number 19 at the end of that verse, it says there, why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? They rejected the word of God. They gave themselves up to idolatry, false idols and gods before the God of heaven. They felt they could go on in their sin and sin with impunity, and that God would not judge them for their sin. Verse 7 there of the chapter, the Lord says, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. You see, Judah were a people who prided themselves in their past blessings from God. Look again at verse 19 of the chapter. They say, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Yes, because of God's favor in a past day, in a past generation, they thought that the Lord would never judge them for their sin on that occasion, but they were wrong. Indeed, it was because of the same sin of unbelief that only 8 were saved in the ark in the day of Noah. And friends, in this harvest gospel service tonight, let me say this, that unbelief is why many are not saved tonight. Friend, is this how it is with you? You refuse to believe that the Lord will judge you for your sin. Is that your thinking in your heart and in your soul? You say, God is a God of love. God will never judge me for my sin. Yes, it is indeed most true that God is indeed a God of love. The Bible tells us that God is love. The Bible tells us God so loved the world. But as well as being a God of love, God is one who is holy. God is one who is just. God is one who is righteous. And God is one who will always judge sin. That's the message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. In the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 18, it says there, the wrath of God is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The psalmist tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day. Whenever Paul the Apostle was preaching to the people of Athens and Mars Hill, he reminded them of this very fact. For he said, God have appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And that day of judgment will take place when the Lord comes back again to this earth, to the scene of time. And when Christ returns, he will judge this world for its sin. My, whenever Christ judges this world, the unsaved, the Bible tells us, will be cast into hell.
into everlasting judgment and perdition. Turn your Bible, please, over to 2 Thessalonians and to the chapter number 1. And just look at what is said there in verses 7, 8, and 9 of that chapter. Paul here speaks of this very fact in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, "Unto you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." What a judgment that will be. Christ returns in power and great glory. One of the things that are going to happen is the judgment of the unsaved. The judgment of the ungodly. You think back to the Titanic, that great ship that was made in Belfast many years ago. Whenever it was made, the statement, the thinking of many was the Titanic was unsinkable. That it would never sink. And we all know what happened on it. And its maiden voyage, it sank with a terrible loss of life. And friend, tonight in this meeting, understand this. Despite what the voice of unbelief would say, God's day of judgment is coming. God's day of judgment is approaching. And on that day, can I say this, all your religion, all your good works, all your wealth, your standing in the community, whatever, will be of no use to you. It will be of no avail to the salvation of your soul. The Bible says salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says riches profit not in the day of wrath. Let me say, dear friend, tonight that you can only be delivered from God's day of judgment if you're saved. If you're saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you repenting of your sin in time and putting your faith and trust in Christ, resting in His sacrifice, on His blood alone for the cleansing away of your sin and the salvation of your eternal, never dying soul. The Lord says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over thee." You can only be saved from the judgment of God as it was on the night of the Passover Lamb when God sees the blood of Christ applied to your heart by faith. Indeed, the Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Oh, the judgment day is coming. It's sure and certain and fixed in the calendar of God. Yes, Judah was not saved because he refused to believe in coming judgment. But we can say, secondly, tonight that Judah was not saved because she was trusting in a false refuge. Look at what is said about her in verse number 10 and verse number 11 of the chapter. In the middle of verse number 10 of Jeremiah chapter 8, it says, "Therefore everyone, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Yes, Jeremiah was a faithful servant of God in his day, but also in his day there were false prophets in the land of Judah. And while Jeremiah faithfully declared the word of God, there were these false prophets, and they told the people that there was nothing for them to fear about, that there would be peace instead of judgment. My assumption was that the Egyptian army would come to their aid once they had gathered in their own harvest. But that assumption was wrong, for Egypt never came to their help. Egypt never came to their aid. Also were those, and they thought that the walls of Jerusalem, walls that they had built with their own sweat and with their own hands, they thought that these walls of Jerusalem were impregnable and they would withstand any enemy or any army. The false prophets cried out to the people, "Peace, peace."
when there was no peace. But again, this thinking was wrong. For the walls of Jerusalem were razed to the ground by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and his army. There was no hiding place when the judgment of God fell upon the city of Jerusalem. The walls came tumbling down. Their trust in those walls was but a false refuge. Their trust upon the lies of the false prophets was but also a false refuge. And likewise, you know, there are many tonight, and they are trusting in some false refuge of their own, some lie of man for salvation. The Bible talks about those who trust in the refuge of lies, and there are many like that in society tonight. The Bible talks about a man, he was a Pharisee. The Lord tells us about him. He was trusting in a false refuge, a refuge of lies. In Luke chapter 18, he was trusting in his own religion for salvation. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That was his boast. That was his trust in his own self-righteousness. The Lord does not say that this man was saved by his own religion, by his own righteousness and his own good works. No. Did nothing for his salvation. Did nothing for his soul. Also, the Bible speaks of the woman in the Scripture with the issue of blood. And the Bible speaks of her and tells us how she tried many physicians to help her. But the Bible says she was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. You see, the things of this world could do nothing for her to help her in her time of need and in her predicament. There was no help for her in the world. Then let me say to you tonight that there is no hope of salvation for you in anything of this world. There's no salvation in the world. Whatever the world says or whatever promises the world might make to you, there's no hope of salvation in anything of this world. There's no hope of salvation and any of the false notions or philosophies or ideologies of men, no. You see, the Bible says, vain is the help of man. Yes, there are many false prophets in the world tonight, and they will tell you that you don't need salvation. They will tell you that you don't need to be saved. They will tell you, just go on living as you are. Day by day, do the best you can, and we come to die and come to leave this world. God will accept you just as you are. It all will be counted up before God and gain you a place in heaven. Indeed, there are many false prophets in the land tonight, and they would tell us that everybody's going to heaven, that no one will be lost, no one will face the judgment of God. Friend, I say to you tonight, do not listen to those false prophets. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Word of God says. God will not accept you just as you are. He will not accept your works or your own self-righteousness for salvation. No. Dear friend, to be right with God, to be accepted with God, you must be saved. That's what the Bible declares. And there's only one person who can save you from your sin. That's not self, that's not the preacher, it's not the church, it's not man. It is Christ. It is Christ alone, the eternal Son of God who came down from heaven's glory, who traversed this world, who went willingly to the cross of Calvary and laid down his life as a ransom for guilty sinners such as you and I. The Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ is the only one that can save you. He is the only one that can do you good. He is the only one that can bring you into a right relationship with God. He is the only one who can take you to heaven. He says himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you turn with me back in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. And here, at the beginning of this chapter, you have a wonderful picture of the Old Testament of Christ as the refuge of sinners, the Savior of sinners. And in Isaiah chapter 32 and the verse number 2, it says this, "And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Who is that man? That man is the man Christ Jesus, the Savior of sinners, the friend of sinners. The one who can save you tonight. The one who can do you good for time and for eternity. You see, Christ came into this world to be our substitute. He died on the cross as our substitute. The Bible tells us Christ died for our sins. And on the cross, the wrath of God was poured out upon Christ. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Bible says Christ offered himself one sacrifice for sins forever. And he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." By that finished work, he met the demands of God's holy law. He satisfied the justice of God, and he provided. He opened up a way. He made a way for sinners like you and like me to be saved. Saved from our sins. Saved from the judgment of God. Saved from going down into the very pit of hell itself. And he did it out of love and out of mercy. For sinners such as you and I, the Bible tells us God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting tonight, let me say this, to be saved, you must come to Christ. Yes, as the hymn writer says, just as you are. Confess your sins to him. Yes, thank him for dying on the cross for you, and by faith alone, ask him in your heart and life to be your Savior. Ask him to take away your sins. Trust him. Rest upon him by faith alone for salvation. The Lord invites you to do so. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, he says there, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." He says, "Look unto me by faith." He says, "Trust me to be your Savior." The hymn writer says, "There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee." Friend in the meeting tonight, unsaved, I tell you this upon the authority of the Word of God. If you look by faith to Christ, trust him as your Savior, he will save you. He will bring you into the family and fold of God. He will pardon all your sins, give you a place in heaven, save you from the wrath to come, give you the great hope of eternal life in your soul. Judah was not saved because they refused to believe in coming judgment. They were not saved because they were trusting in a false refuge. One final thought tonight from our text, and it is this. Judah was not saved because she wasted the opportunities that God had given to her. Look again at what our text says, verse number 20. It says, "The harvest is past. The summer has ended." We talk about the harvest and the summer. We're talking about seasons. The emphasis here is upon time. That great gift that God gives to every one of us. And they say the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Yes, in the summer and in the harvest time, yes, Judah had time. They had opportunity to repent. To repent of their sin and to get right with God. They were given that time. They were given that opportunity. But alas, they did not repent. Alas, they did not seek the Lord for salvation. Look at what is said about them in verse 5 and verse 6 of the chapter. The Lord says, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back?" They turned away from God by a perpetual backsliding. "They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened unheard, as if God was watching them. He was listening. He was looking out to see if any would repent and turn and seek Him. He says, I hearkened and heard, but they speak not aright. No man, he says, repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone has turned to his course as the horse rusheth in to the battle. There was no repentance here from sin, no forsaking of sin. He says they were going on in sin just like a galloping horse in battle, rushing into the battle. They were rushing on, continuing on in their sin. And you know, likewise tonight, there are many, yes, and they're not saved. And it's because they too have wasted the opportunities that God has given to them. They have not repented of their sin. They have not sought the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. They continue on in their sin. You read of such a character in the life of Felix, the Roman governor. Paul the apostle witnessed him. He spoke to him about Christ, about the gospel and need to be saved. And what was the response of Felix, the Roman governor? He said to Paul, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He turned away from the Lord. He wasted the time, the opportunity that God had given him. Again, you read of another lady in the book of Revelation by the name of Jezebel. And this is what God says about her. He says, I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. God gave her time to repent and get right with God. But God says she repented not. She wasted her time. She did not seek the Lord for salvation. That's a solemn thing. Waste the time and the opportunity that God gives you to be saved, to be right with God, is a foolish thing. Friend, I wonder, is this a picture of you in the meeting tonight? Some of you I know, but many of you I do not know tonight. Perhaps it's the case that God has given you many summers to get saved. He's given you many harvest times to get saved. Maybe many harvest meetings to get saved. Maybe times without number. Yet tonight in this harvest meeting, you're still unsaved. You're going on in your sin, still out of Christ. With no hope for time, no hope for eternity, no hope of heaven. Friend, if that is you in the meeting tonight, I ask you to stop and to think. Forget about everything else. Forget about all the promises of the world and the pleasures of sin that are only for a season. But listen tonight to God. Listen tonight to the Word of God. Heed the warning voice of God's own precious Word. What does God say in His Word? He says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. And God strives, but a time comes when He stops striving. He stops speaking. Again, the Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That verse reminds us of the brevity of life, the uncertainty of life. In the midst of life, we are in death. David says, there's but a step between me and death. The Bible says, man's life is really just like a vapor that is here for a moment and gone. And the reality is this, friends, in the meeting, this time tomorrow night, you and I could be gone from this world, the scene of time, out into God's eternity. None of us know. In the midst of life, we are in death. Friend, learn from this tonight. Take heed tonight. If God stops speaking to you, the Holy Spirit stops striving in your heart, and you die unsaved, there is no hope of salvation for you. Your soul will be eternally lost. Then eternal punishment and hell for your sin will be your portion. Your doom will be sealed, and your destiny will be sealed, and hell forevermore. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, whenever he had health and strength, Gandhi, the famous Indian leader of a bygone day, he boasted. He boasted that all was well with him. However, whenever he came to die, he said, all about me is darkness. And all about him was darkness because he was without God's salvation in Christ. He was heading for a lost eternity and hell itself. And friend, this is the terrible end that awaits you should you leave this world not saved out of Christ. The Bible says you'll be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, forever cut off from God, separated from God, lost in the blackness of hell forever and ever, without hope and without God. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting tonight, unsaved, I urge you to heed the warning of God's word tonight and turn from your sin. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Turn from your sin. Repent of your sin. And turn by faith to Christ. And trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Yes, in love and mercy, God sent Christ into this world to die upon the cross, to make a way of salvation for sinners such as you and I. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible says of Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. God tonight offers you the free gift of his so great salvation through his Son, through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who rose again. Whoever you are tonight not saved, if you come by faith to Christ and confess your sin to him and trust in his precious blood to wash away your sin, you shall be saved. That's the promise of the Word of God, and God cannot lie. His Word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When God saves you, he'll pardon, he'll forgive all your sins. You'll have peace with God. You'll know the presence of God with you in your life day by day. He'll give you grace and help to live the Christian life, to live for God's honor and glory in life. And then one day he'll welcome you into heaven. He'll bring you to glory to be with himself forevermore. You think of what the hymn writer says. The hymn writer says, let your will to God be given. Trust in Christ's atoning blood. Look to Jesus now in heaven. Rest on his unchanging word. If you're not saved tonight, heed that advice. Rest upon Christ. Come to trust him. Praise God, he will save you for time and eternity. Fit you for heaven. Thank you tonight for listening. May God bless his word to your heart. And if you're not saved, don't go out of the meeting tonight without the Lord, but come to Christ and trust him as your own and personal Savior. Hand back now to your minister, the Reverend McMillan. Thank you.
The hymn 230, we'll sing two verses as we close the service tonight. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Just the first two verses, the hymn 230, and we're standing as we sing, please.
The fate of life is mine.
It has been a blessing to have Reverend Porter with us tonight. He's known great help in the preaching of the gospel. The Lord has given him liberty. He's brought to our hearts tonight a powerful word in the gospel. We know the Lord has spoken in the meeting. We pray he might speak to you to the saving of your soul. I may emphasize to you again, we want you to think about your soul, the great need of your soul in the light of eternity. He emphasized wasting the opportunities. There's a further opportunity given to you tonight to come to Christ and remember the words, the warning of that hymn we've just sung, the need for you to be in time. Come to Christ tonight while you still have the opportunity. Well, thank you, Father, for these harvest services today. We can say the Lord has been amongst us. We have known the Lord's blessing to be upon the meetings. Thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, for the evidence of the work of your Spirit amongst us. We do praise thee for giving your servant utterance tonight to make known the mystery of the gospel. Lord, we're asking that there will be fruit as we've thought of the fruit of the earth. We want to pray that there will be fruit tonight for the preaching of your word. Remember the Savior said, the harvest is the end of the world. And Lord, our cry is that all that are assembled here tonight will be ready for that last great harvest. We pray that each one will know Christ and be gathered in to be with him for all eternity. Abide with us now. We're glad, Father, at the beginning of a new week, as we're gathered in your house, we can give ourselves into your hands. We ask you to guide us through this week. We pray that you'll use us. We ask for your blessing to be upon our lives, and we plead for the blessing of God evidently to be upon the witness of this church here in Armagh. Use us to your glory, the winning of souls and the extension of your kingdom. So we ask now, Father, part us in thy fear and with thy favour. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter, remain with each one, we pray, in Jesus' name.